and main thought. The first one is the main thought, and 2, 3, and 4 are sub-thoughts, are minor, shorter. So hallowed be thy name, the first thought, knowing the name. How can we hallow the name if you don't know the name? So that's a prerequisite, that's so necessary, that's obvious, knowing the name. Secondly, hallowing in thoughts. That's what's mentioned, literally, our thoughts. Third, hallowing in word, in what you say, speak, convey to others. And in the fourth place, hallowing in deed, in actions, in works. So hallowed be thy name, knowing the name, that's the main point, and then hallowing in thoughts, hallowing in words, and hallowing in deeds. Congregation, young people, elderly, do you pray? Do you really pray? And do you take the time to pray? Are you done in a couple minutes? You're so used to say a few words, and you always say the same words, and it's nothing new and nothing fresh, and it's maybe never from the heart. And maybe you're worried about that, and you feel kind of, this is not prayer. And you don't know where to start. You have kind of given up. Some have given up praying. They still pray, but their hearts are far away from that. And also young people, they sometimes complain about and they say on my knees to thank the Lord for the day. And I fall asleep. Or I start thinking about other things. I don't pray anymore. It's a shame. How do I change that? I can't pray. So easily distracted. Well, let me give you a few ideas on how to pray. And of course, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to teach you to pray. I can't teach you that. But I can give you some hints. I can give you some points to consider. What about this? Why don't you start praying out loud? I mean, audibly, so that it's easy to concentrate. Or if that's too scary, because you don't want others to hear it, whisper it. Just whisper. Our Lord in heaven. Say things out loud that makes a difference, that's easy to concentrate and to keep going. Or we can use the Bible to pray. So you have read a chapter of the Bible, and you bring that chapter up in prayer. You say, what do you mean? Well, for example, you have been reading the parable of the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son who left house, the home, and came to himself and repented and came back, and you can pray that. You can say, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm such the prodigal son myself. I have the same heart. And Lord, although I have been spared for gross sins, I hope you are, I feel the same way. I feel so lost and so worldly. And I'm not happy. And Lord, may I also come back. And that young man was welcome to return home. And his father was asking to, was approaching him, running towards him. Lord, is it still the same? May I also come back? And so pray that chapter, that piece that you have been reading. Or use a pattern. You know what the pattern is, right? Your girls, and they do some sewing and knitting, they have a pattern, an example. And according to that pattern, that example, they make their piece. And so the Lord has given us also a pattern in the Bible. Something, this is what prayer should look like. As an example, not to exactly pray literally always that pattern, but to just think about it and elaborate on that. What is that pattern then? That pattern is the Lord's Prayer. The prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's the pattern. That's what the Lord Jesus has given his disciples to give them an idea on what prayer should look like. So now people can just pray that literally, and that's fine, but that's not what it was meant for. It was meant as a pattern. So you begin, for example, with "Our Father's art in heaven." Oh, when I say this, Lord, I wonder, but may I say this? Am I a child of God? Others are. I feel so poor. But yet I am called to say, "Our Father which art in heaven." Lord, make it true. Make it true. Make it real in my heart. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Lord, teach me to hallow thee, to glorify thee, to make thee great. And this, with all those petitions in the pattern, take your time to pray, to elaborate on them. Unless you say, "Well, I don't want to pray. I just keep it short and it's quick." But that's riding your you make yourself guilty. You just show that you want to die. You just make a statement with that you're not interested. So if you don't want to put any effort into that, that's scary. So I encourage young and old to make work of prayer, to really make work of it, and to not always have the same type of things, but also for yourself and in the family, to pray according to God's will. So we have been talking about that pattern before, right? We talked about the address, "Our Father which art in heaven." And then there is the rest of the prayer. May I ask you a question? How would you define that? Do you see a pattern in this pattern? Do you see a certain sequence? How would you divide the prayer up in two pieces, or three pieces, or four pieces? But what do you see? Because in this prayer are a few petitions, a few prayers in particular. So how many petitions are in here? Do you know? And if you know those petitions, can you divide those petitions into groups? We can. There are actually six petitions. And the first three and the second three. And the first three, all three have "thy" in there. Because those are petitions for God. For God. "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." See, Joseph is praying for the Lord. "Lord, make sure it goes well with thy name. Lord, make sure it goes well with thy kingdom. Lord, make it well with thyself, with thy will." And the next three petitions are about us. "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation." So first we have an address, "Our Father who art in heaven," and then six petitions, three for God and three for us. So tonight we deal with the first one. The first petition, not the first, the address. We talked about the address before, but now the first petition. Only those words, "Hallowed be thy name." Hallowed. Do you know that word, hallowed? When I look at that, I see almost Halloween, right? Halloween. Because Halloween is an abbreviation, a blur of Hello Evening. So you say it fast, Hello Evening, you say Halloween. So Hello Evening means Holy Evening. Hello is the same as holy. To hallow something is to make it separate, to make it holy. So God's name needs to be glorified and exalted and magnified. That's the same as being hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. That's, you're used to that, right? I'm too. But just have a fresh look at that. Something that doesn't make sense. First, hallowed be thy name. Thy name? Why doesn't it say, hallowed be God? Hallowed be the Almighty One. Hallowed be the God of Israel. Why does it say, hallowed be thy name? This one name? Or would this mean, hallowed be thy names in plural? Why does it say, hallowed be thy name? What name? The name Jehovah or Elohim or Adonai or Emmanuel or what name? There's so many names of God. Are they all included? Well, in a way, yes, they're all included, but it says on purpose, hallowed be thy name in singular. On purpose. Because it is typically Hebrew, to say it the way. It's an Hebraism. It's an Hebrew way of saying things. You know, God is so lofty that instead of the kingdom of God, they often say the kingdom of heaven. The saying God is called something, the kingdom of heaven. And instead of saying God, they sometimes say his name. That's the same. That's God himself. So I'm convinced, and I will prove that, that hallowed be thy name means the same as hallowed be thee, O God. It's about God himself. He is his name. We have names, but God is his name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be the God who thou art. Not hallowing the name, a certain name. What a beautiful name that is. No, he is beautiful. There are more words like that. Not only the word name, God's name, but also the word glory. God's glory, the glory of God was taken away. The glory of God came. Yeah, God came. Let thy presence go with me. Lord, not thy presence only, be present thyself. The angel of his face, the angel of God is also often God himself. So instead of saying God dwells in the temple, we read in the Bible, his name is in the temple. The name, again, is God himself, the triune God. So a few examples. And then you see the reverence. And you see proof that the name of God is God himself. It must be. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. We will remember the name. No, yes, they will remember him. Trust in him. So some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust, we will remember in the name of the Lord. That's God himself. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. So the temple is called the place where his name is. His name? That's strange. His name is in the temple? What do you mean? There's a plate with the name of God on there in the temple? What does it mean? His name in the temple. Do they call the name in the temple? Yes, that's not what it means. The name in the temple is God himself is in the temple. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So calling upon the name is that saying, this is the name, Elohim or Adonai, so I pray to that name. No. No, it's praying to God himself because he is the name. He that walketh in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Trusting in the name is not trusting how the Lord has revealed himself in a certain name, but God himself completely. And in many of those texts, the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. His name? This is a word. That's just a sound or something written down. That's a strong tower? No, that's God himself. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. He is that strong tower himself. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Now God's people love his names. Don't take me wrong. But that's not what's meant here. Psalm 69:36. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love him shall dwell therein. They love his name because he is his name. That's in Hebraism. That's a way of saying God himself. Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How excellent art thou in all the earth. Unite my heart to the feet to fear thy name. To fear thee. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Bless him. So hallowed be thy name is hallowing God. Hallowing the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, when we say the name, because that sounds more reverent sometimes. Hallowed be thy name. That's so the Lord reveals himself, not only in his names, but it's himself. And of course, you know, when you read other expositories, other commentaries on this, some say it also includes the names. Jehovah is a beautiful name, and Elohim is a beautiful name, and Adonai is a beautiful name. That's right. So that might be included. But that's not the first thing. Hallowed be thee, O Lord. Now that hallowed be thy name is the first petition. I dare to say it is the most important one. It's on purpose. You know, a prayer like this has not been thought out by people. It's not a smart person who thought, you know, let me just put a beautiful prayer together. Hey, this is heavenly. This is so ingenious, so beautiful, so fitting. It makes perfect sense. The whole order is just awe-inspiring. And also the first one, as I said, it's the most important one. How do I explain that? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think God's children in heaven still pray? Or on the new earth, will God's people still pray? Yes or no? You say yes, okay. What do they pray then? Do God's children in heaven pray? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. No, they don't have to ask it anymore because they are forgiven. Do they pray, give us this day our daily bread? No, they don't have to do that. Do they pray, lead us not into temptation? No, of course not. Do they pray, thy kingdom come? Well, maybe in heaven, but not on the earth, because on the earth that kingdom has gone. Thy will be done. Do they pray it in heaven? Well, not for heaven, but for people on earth maybe. But when the new kingdom has come, nobody is asking thy kingdom come, and nobody is asking thy will be done. So now we have only one petition left in heaven. It goes on and on and on in eternity. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That doesn't stop. See? So that proves it, that this prayer is the greatest prayer. And I would say, don't forget it, please. Don't forget the first one. Don't always right away go to your needs, our debts, our sins, our temptations. Pray for God. You pray for your children, and you pray for your mother, and you pray for your father, and you pray for your grandparents, and you pray for other people, and you pray for God. For God. He doesn't need to be prayed for. Yes, he does. He wants you to pray for him. He wants you to pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name, O God. So in order to do that, we need also to know God. And one of the things you now encounter is that God wants people to glorify him, because God is all about God. With God, everything is about him. Because he is God, right? So, and we have talked about it before, that people say, why is God so, I hardly dare to say it, why is God so selfish? Why does he want to be prayed for first him, instead of first sinners? Why always first God? And hallowed be thy name to start with, why? Because God wants to be glorified, right? But that's the same as that God wants sinners to rejoice. That's a different subject. No, it's the same. Hallowing God's name. Hallowing God's name is the most joyful thing you can think of. There's nothing better. Just having the highest thoughts of God, being filled with awe and love for that great God, and to say, hallowed be the name, from the heart, in tears. There's such a tremendous joy in there. You know, I have quoted the shorter Westminster Catechism before in question and answer one. I will also add question two now. So what was that question again? The question was about the purpose of life. What do I live for? By the way, what would your answer be? You ask your friends, or ask people in college, or ask your colleagues, what do you live for? What's the purpose of your life? And they say, they never thought about that. Just having fun. Something like that. And they may turn it to you and say, what do you live for then? What's your purpose in life? So that's what this is about. What is the chief end of man? kind of all that you're saying, right? The end is the purpose. What is the chief, the most important purpose of man? And the answer is twofold. Man's chief end is to glorify God, we know that, and to enjoy Him forever. And that's in this first petition. Hallowed be thy name. The chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Because if there's no joy, enjoyment in there, it's worthless. If people glorify God and praise Him without joy, it's the same as offering a cup. It's empty. Empty cup. I cannot drink that. There's nothing in there. So praising God without joy is like a cup with nothing in there. And as I promised, the second question. What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? See again. What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify Him and enjoy Him? Still the same combination, glorify and enjoy. What is the rule? And the answer is the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. So to glorify Him and enjoy Him. You know, that's prayer. When you say from the heart, hallowed be thy name. And you have this joy in your heart saying that. That's really glorifying to God. You know, if you visit a lonely person and you leave again, you know, and you say goodbye, and she says, thank you for visiting. And you would say, well, it's my Christian duty to do that. How would she respond? She would say, thank you. But if you would respond in a different sense, so she says, thank you for visiting, and you say, I enjoyed it. Smile, big smile, you enjoyed it. That's a real honor to that lady that you visited her with joy. Not because you had to or you felt obliged to, because it was your duty, but you loved it. And that's the same with God. If you praise Him because you have to, that's different than to glorify and enjoy Him. So enjoying God is the first petition. Lord, may I enjoy Thee. Hallowed be Thy name. So hallowed be Thy name is the same as saying, may I rejoice in Thee. Give me the greatest happiness, O God, in enjoying Thee. That is truly glorifying God. God does not desire to be served reluctantly, but freely. But in order to enjoy and hallow Him, we need to know Him. And that's why we have the Word. That was the second question, right? What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? The Word of God. So we need the Word of God. And that's also what we read in the Heidelberg Catechism. Hallowed be Thy name, that is, grant us first rightly to know Thee. First rightly to know Thee. Lord, may I know Thee. How can I praise Thee if I don't know Thee? And knowing God does not come automatically. Knowing God is a gift and is the work of the Holy Spirit. But we need to rightly know him and dig into the Bible and open the book and see who God is. Not to just sit back and think about who God would be or fabricating your own God. Know the God of the Bible, the God who is sovereign and omnipotent and free and has chosen his people from eternity and given his only son to save and to give the blood of the Savior to the church and all those doctrinal things reveal who God is. And for those things, God wants to be hallowed for who he is, who he really is and has revealed himself in the Bible. You know, we are prone to seek our own honor. Even Christ was not. Christ was God himself. Correct. But I read in John 8, verse 50, and I seek, the Lord Jesus speaking, and I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. He is not seek his own glory. The Lord Jesus humbled himself. Although it was not robbery to be equal to God, he took upon himself the form of a servant as a man of no reputation. And he rejoiced in that as well. That was the life of the Savior. So, hallowed be thy name is in the first place to know God. That was the main thought. Secondly, hallowing in thoughts. Now, hallowing God is very concrete in living according to God's name and speaking into God's name, but also feeling, thinking, feeling in your heart, your thoughts, your mind, feeling. Hallowing God in your thoughts. If we're without saying anything, without doing anything, just in your thoughts, just thinking. What a God. Just processing it, what he all did. How worthy he is. It's easy to say things with your lips, but it needs to be heartfelt, of course. So we hallow God when we have a high appreciation and esteem of him in our hearts. We hallow his name when we set him the highest in our thoughts. Highly esteeming God, triune in all his perfections, in all his attributes, when we have the highest thoughts of him. You know, maybe there are people you don't talk to, you hardly see, you still think of them. Maybe even there is love in your heart for a certain person. You think of that person. You think the world of that person. You don't say anything yet, but you have highly esteem that person. And that's also included here. That we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, you know, in the Heidelberg. So do you recognize that? Do you have high appreciation of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit? Do you set him in the highest place in your thoughts? Because of who he is, does he impress you? We hallow his name when we trust in him. Not only think highly of him, also trust in him. If you don't trust someone, that's not a real honor, is it? You have the feeling kind of, I'm not so sure about that person. I don't know if I can really confide in the person. I don't know if I can ever trust what the outside has. Kind of, I don't know. I don't know. I just will see. when you have reservations. But when a sinner really trusts in God, as a sinner, that's really hallowing his name. We hallow his name when we trust in God. We cannot glorify God more than by confiding in him. Unbelief stains God's honor and eclipses his name. Beautifully said. So we hallow and sanctify when we love him. I said when we highly esteem him, when we trust him, when we love him. It's all in the heart, in the thoughts, right? Because without love, what is the content of hallowing the person? We may trust the person and not love the person. We may have high appreciation for a person, but no love. Well, if there's no love for God, that's not really honoring him. Hallowed be thy name means, Lord, I highly appreciate thee. And Lord, I trust in thee. Lord, I love thee. And make me to love thee. And make me to trust thee. There's the text in between Psalm 5, verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Bless them also that love thy name, be joyful in thee. So being joyful in the Lord and trusting in the Lord, highly esteeming the Lord, it's all one. It's also give the devotion of the heart to God, to worship him within. Without inner worship, it's also empty. So it's quite something to hallow God's name, right? That's not just saying something good about the Lord. It's about the heart, appreciation, trust, love, joy, worship, glorifying him, and be thankful. Be really, really thankful for who God is, for what he did. I mean, from the heart. Hallowed be thy name. What is the sense of saying that if there's no thankfulness? I would say it, but then say, Lord, I say it and I miss so much. Do I have that love? Do I have that trust? Do I have that worshiping? You know, hallowing the Lord's name is also hallowing him for what you did. Pardon me? Yes. To hallow God for what I've done. You say, I don't understand that. Well, I will show you a text and then you do. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So that's glorifying his name. Even glorifying God for what I have received, for his help, for the ability to do something in God's kingdom. To not be ashamed of saying, I am what I am. I don't deny that, but I've received that. I've received that help and that gift of the Lord. You know, one more thing. It's also being grieved when you see people leaving the path. So it's really adding to that when the child of God cries. Doesn't say anything, just feels grieved. Example. It came to pass in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. I have not been sad in his presence. Therefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? Seeing thou art not sick. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. That I was very sore afraid the king would punish him. But he sighed. He saw that his countenance was sad. And sometimes you see God's people's countenance being sad, and they cry and they just feel horrible about something. And that can be really God honoring. The thoughts brings us to the next thought. First, we sing. Congregation, I'm sure that all of you are praying at home for yourself. Do you also praise Him? You sing praises in your psalters, but do you praise Him in your prayers? You know, you praise your wife for the meal, and you praise your husband for doing things, and you praise your children for doing hard work. Do we praise God? You say, would it make any difference? Does He need that? I praise my children for their self-esteem, right? I don't need to praise God for that reason. That's right. But He is worthy of it. And it's part of being a Christian. So our forefathers wrote a few examples here in the Heidelberg. Praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, thy wisdom, thy goodness, thy justice, thy mercy, thy truth are clearly displayed. So if my suggestion for tonight, in your personal prayers, could you please start with praising Him? And say, Lord, Thou art so good. And elaborate on that. Why? And say, Lord, Thou art so righteous. And say a few more words on that. Say, Lord, Thou art so patient. And say, Lord, Thou art so merciful. And just praise Him for who He is. And ask the Lord if you may receive that Holy Spirit to guide you and to also let it fill your heart. But He wants to be praised. He wants to hear it. We have received a tongue to talk. And we read from James 3 tonight. The tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You cannot tame it. You can tame animals. You cannot tame the tongue. But we have received a tongue to bless Him. Out of the same mouth proceed a blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We need to sing in praises. And I said sing. Why don't you sing? Sing in the car, yourself, with the children. Sing. Sing in church. Sing at home. And every creature which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So display the trophies of His excellency. Display the trophies of His excellencies. To praise Him, to praise God. We received a mouth for a reason. Let us not only praise Him, also speak about Him. If we received a mouth, speak about Him to others. speak well to others about God's glory, about his service. Hallowed be thy name is also, Lord, may I just praise thee to others and encourage others to seek thee as well. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly, Job says. So that is speaking about God. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. The heart of the wise, spiritually wise, teaches his mouth. So the heart is teaching the mouth. Your heart says things and you know, now you know what to say. And addeth learning to his lips. So something you learn from that. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Proverbs 22. So that's a short thought. Hallowing with our words. And the last one, hallowing in deeds. Of course, we can praise God and say good things and think good things, but now practically, we need to see it. To see it. By obeying him, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, ye are the light of the world. Dark world, and you're the light. Let that light shine. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, right? City on a mountain, you can't hide that. You cannot hide it. You cannot cover that. That's open. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may hear, not that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They notice something. They notice your absolute honesty. They notice your love. They notice your humility. They notice your dedication to God. They notice that you would like to love, that you love to walk in his ways. They see that in your works, and through the works they may glorify God. So, hallowed be thy name, is Lord. May I know thy name. May I think highly of thy name. May I talk about thy name. May I show it in my life. Think of Abraham. He was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. Unbelievable. He did it. He showed it. He did not only say, hallowed be thy name, he practiced it by just doing what the Lord said. And something that's against God's will cannot be God honoring. Doesn't matter how good you feel about it. The Lord also has given us a day, right? A day to spend in his service. Sunday. If you waste that day away, if you do your own things on that day, if you don't realize the purpose of that gift, then you don't hallow the name. Then you don't hallow God's ways. When children are raised by parents, that should be done also in a biblical way, in a God-fearing way. Hallow be thy name. How can you say hallow be thy name and you just let your kids do what they think that's right? And not warn them and not stop them and not talk to them and not raise them in the fear of the Lord. Raise your children with this in mind. This in mind. Hallowed be thy name. With every decision, when you allow things to happen to your children, you ask, can I do this? Can I go there? You think, hallowed be thy name. What is hallowing his name? You say, I don't think so. Why not, Mom? Because I always pray, hallowed be thy name. So, perfume your house with prayer. I came across that expression, I like it. Perfume your house with prayer. Also, martyrs refuse to recant, they're willing to die on the stake, rather hanged than dishonor God. They also show that in their life. But the Lord Jesus was the example, of course, the utmost example, the ultimate example. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So he showed it. What is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name. That's God himself. That is, grant us, because I cannot make it myself, grant us first rightly to know, to reveal thyself, O Lord, and to sanctify, hallowed, glorify and praise thee in all thy works, and mention them which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed, and further also that we may so order and direct our whole lives as parents, as what we are, our thoughts, words, and actions. Thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. What is blaspheming to God? When God is offended, that's blaspheming him. When we don't care about things pertaining to God's honor, that's blaspheming him. It's blaspheming him not to trust him, not to glorify him, not to love him. So think about those things. We're going to close. Let me close where we started, with that combination, that connection between joy and glorifying. I have two texts for you to prove that. That the real joy, I hope you think about that, the real joy is to think of God, to think of that high majesty and to taste that. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. See? Seeking is praying, rejoicing, and glorifying him. Glory in his holy name. His holy name, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. People of God, rejoice, ye that seek the Lord. Or Psalm 105, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice. Let's seek the Lord. Very close. Hallowed be thy name. So tonight you pray before you go to bed. Maybe as a family, maybe as a couple, but also by yourself. I would say, begin with this first petition. And elaborate on it. And tell God what you think of him. Amen.